We're reading four verses from the 19th chapter of Acts. After all this had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. After I have been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. He sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in no little business for the craftsmen. In Jesus' name, beloved of God. When Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, and then to Rome also, it turned out to be the plan for the rest of the book of Acts. The Lord would grant his desire to go to Jerusalem, and also to see Rome, though perhaps not quite the way he was thinking when he stated those objectives, because he would be almost torn apart in Jerusalem, spend years in prison, and then go in chains to Rome. We too have long-range goals, don't we? And when the day-to-day events aren't quite what we expected, it does not necessarily mean that the Lord is not going to grant our long-range goals. But He may well have training programs in mind that we do not anticipate. He may lead us through some difficult studies so that we will be equipped to help others down the road and still out of sight. He may train us to be patient by sending some tribulation, for tribulation works patience. So we should not be discouraged if the path to our goals involves suffering or hard work, but continue to seek strength and guidance from the Lord, our Savior. After sending Timothy and Erastus on to Macedonia, Paul continued to stay in Ephesus until Pentecost because he saw many opportunities there to share the gospel and because there was also opposition to be overcome. Other times he left towns because of opposition, but now there was also an open door. The opposition came to light very soon. At that time, Ephesus was a center for the worship of the Mother Earth goddess, Artemis. Some of the activities involved in her worship are still carried on today, though not in connection with that worship. And at that time, the Ephesian citizens were very proud to have all Asia look to them. There were at least 32 temples scattered over Asia Minor, but Ephesus was the center. The trouble started, however, because of another local god who is still around today, called Mani. It started because Paul was telling people about the God who made heaven and earth and who sent his own Son to redeem us all and make us God's own children. Because so many joyfully responded to the Heavenly Father, the sails in the little shrines to the Earth Mother Artemis began to fall off. And that's when Demetrius called the meeting of the silversmiths, which led to the riot. And this concern that the Lord's prophets might interfere with the bank's kind of prophets still causes opposition today. There may be some who think that private schools take away from the public sector, and it doesn't bother them too much until they find out that reduced enrollment means less federal money coming their way. And now it's interfering with the education of the nation's children. such opposition we might expect from the unbelieving world. But even greater is the danger of the opposition within, from our own unbelieving, sinful flesh. Some years ago, there was an advertisement in a magazine for an all-terrain vehicle. It had a picture of the ATV, and above it, it said, "In primitive times, it would have been a god." If that is true, then we are still living in primitive times, because there are still plenty of people who share our human nature and who serve such gods as Mani. They do whatever is required to possess such things and the money it takes to get them. And they think that whatever they do in service of those things is good. How easy it is for us to let such things dictate our actions. Where will we get the most money? One of the reasons also that such things are so tantalizing to revere is that they are creations of humans like us, at least the ATV, that can tame the forces of nature and inspire awe in up to 7 adults at once. So in the final analysis, it's really ourselves that we are revering. The opposition from the silversmiths did not stop the gospel, however, in Ephesus. And the power of that gospel in Paul's life prevented the temptations of wealth from sidetracking him. He remembered how Jesus had left the riches of heaven for him. He remembered how Jesus had given up earth's greatest treasure, the life of the Son of God, for him. May we always remember that this is true for us also. Because he died for us, we can say with Paul, "He loved me and gave himself for me." For he died for all. And then we know that he will help us and bring us through any difficulties, either to our chosen goal or to something else, which is even better. And so we pray for his guidance. We'll sing hymn 54. We'll be singing it to a tune in the worship supplement that requires that we repeat the last phrase on each stanza.